Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra Daf Nun Ches. We begin four lines off the top of the Amud. Rabbi Beno'o. This story happened with him. He was a great man. Rashbam calls him an Adam. Gadol v'chashuv. And as such, he was able to access the caves which contained graves of great tzaddikim, like the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which contains the Avos, the Himois, Adam HaRishon, etc. So what was he doing? Rabbi Beno, Havokam Etzayin Ma'arta, he was marking various caves, various graves. Rashbam explains, he was concerned about, you know, Kohanim or others who were involved or engaged in pure things in Taharis, that perhaps they're going to inadvertently stumble upon a grave, a cave which contained graves, and that will make them tummy, or contaminate them. And therefore he had to mark them. He would take some sort of sid, lime, paint, and mark around the areas which were problematic. He would go into a cave. They used to bury inside caves. So he would go into the cave and he would measure the dimensions, and then he would go outside and mark the outside. Beware, don't approach this area if you are a Tahar. Havakam Atzayin Ma'arta. He would make tziyuna, marks, around these graves. Kimotala Ma'arta da'Avram. When he approached the Ma'ara, the cave, the Ma'ara Samachpela, where Avram Avin was buried, so he was seeking to enter. Ashichei l'Eliezer Eved Avram. But, you know, by the way, there's interesting tesis. He says, he has the kasha. What's the issue with the kvarim of the, these kvarim are not metame. He says, anybody that lived before Matan Torah, he brings down that goyim are not metame be'oyel, so the tumah does not spread up, does not extend, you know, upward or, beyond the actual, into under the same roof, doesn't spread. And you're not metame unless you actually touch the tumah, but just hovering over it, etc. That's not applicable by a goy. And likewise, a kever shelefnei hadibur. If one lived before Matan Torah, tumas oil is not applicable. So what was the concern with the Avos and the Emois, as great as they were, but these halachas don't apply to them? So he says, V'yesh Lemar, says Tosfos, Davram Nikra Adam. You see, the Pasuk, where we learn that, the Tumas Oil does not apply to Goyim, etc., is the Pasuk Adam Kiyamas Ba'oil in Parshas Chukas that we just read by, Parshas Parah. So Adam is specific to a Yid, right? By the way, there's a wonderful story that happened with Rabbi Enos and Eibshitz. So he was challenged by the bishop or whatever in front of the king to explain the Gemara, which says that only Yisrael are considered Adam. The title Adam, man, applies only to Yisrael, not to Goyim. How could that be? You don't consider us human beings? We're subhuman? So he was challenged with this question. And he said he had an unbelievable, siyata deshmaya, blitz from heaven. And he responded like this. He says, no, you got it all wrong. You're misunderstanding the Gemara. We don't mean to say that you're subhuman. No, of course not. Rather, the point is that Klal Yisrael has a unique characteristic, a unique quality of unity. When one Yisrael, one Yid, one member of our community is suffering, is going through a hard time, we all feel his pain. We all seek to shoulder his burden, to share his burden and to lighten his load. Right? After Recha Kamaycha, the mitzvahs of Chesed. And that's what the Gemara means. Atem Kurim Adam. Klal Yisrael is one unit. It's like, the various limbs within a person. When a person's toe gets stubbed, well, it's not just the toe that hurts. The whole body feels it, right? So we're all limbs of the same structure, of the same body, which is unique to Klal Yisrael. Goyim don't have that. Sure, they're human beings, but they're separate entities. They're not connected and unified. So he provided that as an answer, and it was accepted. And, you know, it saved him. So in any case, that's the pasuk, which forms the basis for this halacha. Atem kareem adam, v'ein oyd kacham kareem adam. There's no din of oil by a guy. But says Tosfos, Avraham Avinu, nikra adam. The title Adam applies to Avraham Avinu. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, in Yehoshua, ha-adam ha-gadol. And that's a reference to Avraham Avinu. And Adam Arishan as well. Adam Arishan, right? So, even though they lived before Matan Torah, the halachos of all the halachos of Tumah applied to them. So that's why he went to mark the kvarim of the avos, to mark the Maros HaMachpelah. So he approaches the Ma'ara of Avraham Avinu, which was the outer one. We know Maros HaMachpelah is a double cave. There are two pshatim actually in Gemara and Erevin. Either it's a double decker, one on top, one on bottom, or it's one inside the other. I once heard that it's sort of like in between. It's one inside the other, but on different levels. So the inner one is on a lower level, so you have sort of both concepts, and hence, you know, the machlekes in terms of what the pasuk had in mind. Why it was called Maros HaMachpelah, is it because of the difference in level, or is it because of the exterior and interior aspects? In any case, he's approaching the Ma'ara of Avram. Ashkechel Eliezer. Who does he meet outside? Eliezer, Eved Avram, Avram's servant, Eliezer's loyal servant. Interestingly, the Rashbam brings from the Brice of Maseches Derech Eretz, I'll just read it inside, the Shiva Tzadikim Kayomen Shalei Mesu. There are seven Tzadikim that are still alive, that haven't died. One of them is Eliezer Eved Avram, believe it or not. So Eliezer Eved Avram was still around, he was there, the Koye Kami Bava, he was there at the doorway. Armalei, so Rabbi Benoah asks of Eliezer, could I go in? Micah Eved Avram. What's Avraham Avinu doing now? Is it okay to enter? Armalesi says, actually, let me describe to you how they buried Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. So regarding Avraham, Gani, he's lying, but can for the Sarah, in the arms of Sarah, become Aina Liberation, and she is gazing at his head. And the Mefarash, the Anaf Yosef, explains a beautiful pshat. He says, the reason why they were buried in this manner is because Avraham Avinu was relying, he was being samech on Sarah Imenu's zechus of tzedakah. The Gemara in Tanis says that a woman, in a way, her tzedakah, her chesed, that she provides for the poor by giving them bread, that's something which is more immediate. The hanah is more accessible. It's food that they can eat right away. So in a way, she has a greater zechus than the husband who just writes out a check. So Avraham Avinu, with all his chesed and chmasas arachem, was really relying on Sarah Imenu in this aspect. He was sort of, drawing from her zechus, which in a way had an advantage over his zechus of chesed. And conversely, she was focused on his head, bereshe, because that represents the concept of intellectual activity, Torah, right, and all that chachma that Avraham Avinu was engaged in, and she obviously did not have that to his extent. So she was focused on his zechus, and he was focused on her zechus. Beautiful pshat. So this is Eliezer relating to Rabbi Benoah. You should know this is what's going on. Omer Leis, so Benoah hesitated to enter, with this going on. So he told Eliezer, sent a message, Zil Eimalei, please relate to Avraham Avinu, Benoah, that, I, Benoah, Rabbi Benoah, Koya Bava, I'm standing at the doorway waiting to enter. Omer Lei, so Avraham Avinu responded, Leia, let him come in. Meida Yadia. Of course, he knows, he's fully aware, the Yetzer Bahai Al Malek, he should know that, over here in our spiritual world, Elam Haba, Yetzirah has no influence, has no impact, has no relevance, and all this means nothing. So there's no reason to be embarrassed, no reason to change our position. The Etzahara is not in business over here. Ayin. So Rabbi Benoah entered Ayin, and he took a look at the size, at the he measured the area of Benafik, and he went out. Kimot l'ma'arta Adam Rishon. So then he proceeded to the next cave, where Adam Rishon was buried. Now the Rashbam says, interestingly, that the three Aves and Imois are buried in one cave, and Adam Rishon in the other cave. So he wanted to go in there. Yotzei baskal of Amra. Suddenly a baskal calls out, "You can't come in." Nistakalta, but you must dukni. You've already had a look at the image of my image, meaning the avos imois are sort of secondary to Adam Arishin, who was actually, who was Betzelem Elokim, right? He's the original image representing Hashem in this world. So it's enough that you were there, but you can't proceed to Adam Arishin. But Yukni Atzman, the actual original image of Hashem, the image that Hashem created, Al Tistakel, you have no right, you can't access, you can't take a look there. So he says, what could I do? But I have to be Mitzayin, I got to mark the graves here. So the response was, "Kemidas achitzoyna, kachmidas apnimis." Is no need, because the size of the interior cave is just the same as the one outside. So once you know the outside, you know the inside. Ulamad Amar, according to the opinion that holds shnei batim zulamalamizu, that it wasn't out and in; it was one on top of the other. So the response was a bit differently. "Kemidas alyoyna, kachmidas achitzoyna." You should know that the size of the lower one is the same as the upper one. Amar Rebino, so he continues, that even though he didn't really enter, but apparently he took a quick glimpse, and he noticed, Nistakalti b'shnei, by the way, the Sama Farshim learn that this whole story was just like a vision. It wasn't an actual physical story. It was sort of a vision experience that he experienced in Nevuah and in Ruach HaKodesh. So I experienced the two heels, b'shnei akevav of Adam Rishon. I noticed his heels, and they were so bright, like the sun, v'doimim l'shnei galgalacham, like two suns. And the Gemara continues, hakoil b'fnei Sora. You want to imagine the yoifi of Sora, all people, compared to Sora, is like k'koyif b'fnei Adam, is like the contrast of a monkey to a person. That's how perfect she was. Sora b'fnei Chava, and we're not done. Sora was incomparable to Chava in this extent, because the comparison between these two is again kikoyf pnei adam, such a contrast, like a monkey compared to a person. And likewise, Chava b'fnei Adam, Chava to Adam was the same thing, kikoyf b'fnei Adam, he was the perfect image. Adam b'fnei Shechina, comparing Adam Rishon to the Shechina, obviously it's a metaphor because the Shechina doesn't have a physical form, but again, in terms of the contrast, in terms of the distance between the two, kikoyf b'fnei Adam, the same idea. Another alternate formula is like this, Shufrei de Rav Kahana. The beauty of Rav Kahana, Me'ein Shufrei de Rav, was reminiscent somewhat to Rav's beauty. Shufrei de Rav, Rav's image, was Me'ein Shufrei de Ravo, comparable to Rabbi Avo. Shufrei de Ravo, the beauty of Rabbi Avo, Me'ein Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu, was a minute of Avraham Avinu. Shufrei de Yaakov Avinu, the beauty of Yaakov Avinu, Me'ein Shufrei de Adam Rishon, was incomparable to Adam Rishon. Continues more with this story. Ahu Amagusha. Amagusha is a mechashev, a magician. A goyishim is a magician who used to dig up graves and rob the clothes of the buried people. Davachotet shichvi. He was digging up some graves. Kimota amarta. When he reached the grave, the cave of the Rav Tuvi Bar Masnov, the great tzaddik Rav Tuvi, tafse v'dikne. The tzaddik reached out and grabbed the magician and grabbed his beard. He wouldn't let go. So this fellow was friendly with Abaye, and he called Abaye to the rescue. Get me out of this situation. So Abaye turned to the tzaddik Rav Tuvi, who had already passed away, but he still had his powers. In fact, the Rashbam explains that G'doylem tzaddikim b'misasan yoyser mibichayen. There's an element of greatness which applies to a tzaddik after death even more than during his lifetime. So he had the power to interfere with this guy who was disturbing his rest. Amalei Sabaya asked the tzaddik, "B'matusa menach, please do us a favor. He's not going to do it again. Shafke, let him go. Release it." Okay, so he let go. L'shana achrit, next year, hadar asa. Here he comes again. He didn't learn his lesson, and he's digging again. This time, tafse b'dikne, Rav Tuvi grabbed him by his beard, asa Abaye l'shafke, and he called Abaye to the rescue. This time, Rav Tuvi did not acquiesce. So he stayed there with his beard in his hand, and there was no choice. Ad the icy masper, until he got out of scissors, because he'll dikne, and he shaved his beard off, and he released him. So now he was a magician without a beard. Ahu da amalu chavisa da afra lachad. Okay, we have a fellow who's being mitzava machmas misa. Before passing away, he gives this verbal will. And he's allocating his assets, and the Rashbam says he was doing it cryptically in a way that people wouldn't realize how wealthy he was and how wealthy his kids are going to be. So he says like this, Chavisa da'afra l'chad broi. I want to give one barrel of dirt to one of my sons. Chavisa da'garmi l'chad broi. The next barrel filled with bones goes to my second son. Chavisa da'udra, a barrel filled with shmatas, with the rags. L'chad broi is going to my third son. So he passed away. Nobody quite understood what he had in mind. Also, Rabbi Bino. So they came to Rabbi Bino, who was a wise man, and that's how the story comes in here, because we're discussing Rabbi Bino, for advice how to proceed. Amar Lahu, so he asks them, Istahu Ara? Did he leave you some properties? Amar Lahin? So he says, they said, yeah. Istahu Chayusa? What about animals? Livestock? Yeah, in, yeah. Istahu Bistarki? What about garments? Yeah, in. If that's the case, that's exactly what he meant. He was just doing it in a hint form. This is what he meant. The barrel of soil meant the properties, the bones meant the animals, and the materials meant the garments. Here comes another story. There was a fellow, the Sha'amalad Visu. One day, he overhears a very disturbing thing coming from his wife. And he overhears her admonishing her own daughter, the Ka'amra Librato. She's telling her daughter off. Why are you acting inappropriately, interacting with other men? Why aren't you careful when it comes to Yisurim? Why are you behaving inappropriately? You want to know the consequence of such behavior? This woman, a reference to herself, the mother herself, you should know how scary it is. Look, Asura bini Isla. She has 10 sons. And they're all illegitimate, except for one. Only one was fathered by your father. You got to be careful when it comes to these things. Okay, so this fellow overhears his wife conceding that only one is really his son. So when he passed away, he declared to them, I'm granting all my assets to one of my sons. And he did not identify him. Nobody understood which one it was. He had 10 sons. Which one? Also, come to Rabbi Bino. So they come to the Chacham. Amar Lahu, so he tells them like this. Zilu Chavutu Kibra Davuchain. You see, Rashbam brings a Gemara, a Brisa, Mesechas Kala, that a Mamzer is an Az Panim. He has an element of brazenness to him. So he was going to use that fact, that element, to verify. To seek to verify which child is the only non-mamzer amongst them. So he told them like this, Amalu zilu chavoytu kibur davuchin, go bang away, strike the grave of your father. Adekai, until he gets up, umigali lechu, and he'll instruct you, reveal to you what he had in mind, l'hai menaychu, shavka, who's the fellow to inherit him? Okay. They all went running to the Beis HaKvaris, az lukulu, and they went and he started banging, except for one. That one who was really his son, he didn't want to go because he had an element of decency and normalcy to him. He wasn't going to bang away at the grave. Oh, Rabbi Bino noticed that. Amar Lahusi tells them he is the right son. Kulu nichsi dahai, he's the fellow that you should give the nechasim to. Now, he didn't explain, you know, what he had in mind. He didn't want to label them as mamzerim. So he just used this as a way to figure it out, and that was then the end of that. Okay? So he gave it to him. Oslo Ochlos, the other brothers were not very happy, so they went and they snitched on him. Oslo Ochlo Kurza, it's a lashon of the... They informed on him, Beimalka, by the authorities. Look, what, there's a rav there, look what he's doing. Amri, they said, Iku gavra chad bidoy, there's a certain man amongst the Jews. Tuka mapik mamayna, ma'anshi, b'leisadi. He's pulling money away from people without witnesses, b'leiraya, without any proof. Look what's going on. B'leimidi. Asu chavshu, so the police came down, they arrested him. Ozla divisu, Rabbi Bino's wife, was going to try to get him out. So she presented them with some sort of cryptic riddle. which they were at loss to figure out. And this way they need him. They're going to go find him to decipher it for them. Amr Lu, she went to complain to the police. Abduchad Hamali, I once had a servant. Paskal Lareshe took off his head. Paskal Lamashke took off his skin. Vachal Bistra, they ate up his flesh. Vikomolo Beimayo, and they're using his skin, filling it up with water, using it as a Umashke Beit Chavrayin, they're feeding the crowd. Vlokoyavli Dme, and nobody's paying me the value of the slave, Vlok Agri, not rental fee for the pitcher, for the container. This was her complaint. Well, Yadi my Amra. Nobody understood what she was saying. My Amru. Amri, so they figured, Nesi lechakimu diyudoi. Let's go find the Jewish wise man, Rabbi Bino, Velema, and certainly he'll explain to us what's going on. Karyula Rabno, so they called Rabno, presented him with his riddle. Amru, he told him, oh, very simple. This is what she meant. Zarnuku Amru. All she meant was like this. She once had this goat, and it was stolen from her, and they shechted it, they ate the basar, they turned the skin into some sort of noid shel oir, a leather pouch, and they're filling it with drink, and they're feeding everybody. And they were very impressed with his answer. Amri, they figured, hoyle v'chakim kulihai, if he's so smart, leisiv abava v'nida, let's put him at the gate of the city, and he'll, that's where the court was, and he'll judge some cases for us. So he appointed him as a judge. So while he was there, he notices an interesting directive engraved on the gateway. He sees the sign like this: Chaza davaksiv ba'bula, bula zishar. Kol dayin de miskari ladin lo shmei dayin. You should know that any dayin, any judge who was once called to court, so there was a claim against the judge. That disqualifies him because apparently he's in for the money, he has a weakness for money, and he's vulnerable to a bribe. Rabbi Binoah tells him, look, you're going a bit too far. I mean, this is a bit extreme. I mean, Elamiyat, if that's the case, imagine a random person comes along and he launches a claim, a frivolous claim against the judge. That's it? It disqualifies him? What does that say about the judge? Nothing. Mazman Ladina Pasle? You have to revise it a bit. I mean, I get your point, but revise it a bit. Modify it. El kol dayin to miskari ladin, rather. This would work. A dayin who is called to the din, who is summoned to a court case, umapkin minei mamayna bedin, and he was forced to pay money after having denied it. This fellow is questionable. Leishmei dayin, lafshmei dayin, you can't use him as a judge because he has a weakness and he's lacking integrity. Okay, they accepted this revision, Kosruhachi, they revised it as follows. Bram, but, so they added this footnote, Sabi de Udoi, the elders amongst the Jews, Amri, they say, Kol dayin de miskar ladin, ma'afkun minem amayna bedin, lav shmei dayin. In fact, it's not as bad, it's only a case where, right, that a dayin was called to court, and he was forced to pay. So Lav Shmei Dayan, he is no longer fit to be a judge. What else did he see on the Shar over there? He sees like this. Chaza, Tichsiv, it says like this. Baroish kol moisa on Adam. An excess of blood is the chief cause of death. Baroish kol chayin on chamar. You want to live? The greatest cause for life is lots of wine. So he asked them, I mean, is that really scientifically... sound? Elamiyat, if that's the case, the nafal mi igrul umis. A person falls off a roof and dies. The nafal mi diklumis, or falls off a tree. Palm tree. So you're going to say excess of blood is the cause of death? Dama katle? Of course not. Vesu, additionally. On the flip side. Manda darki lumemas. A person's on the verge of death. You think you just give him a bottle of wine, it's going to bring him back to life? Mashkuli chamra b'chayi? So the statement of yours has to be revised a bit to reflect reality. Elahachi boy lemichta. This is what you should write. Water it down a bit. Bereish kol marin on Adam. Excess of blood is a primary cause for illness and sicknesses. Bereish kol asvan on achamar. Good healthy wine drinking is the chief cause for health. So basically, wine is very beneficial, and an abundance of dam is very detrimental. But you can't say it's a direct cause of death or life. So in fact, they revised it. Bram, but, right, that was a footnote. Sabed Yudoy Amri, the Jewish wise men say, Barosh kol marin an adam, barosh kol asvan an achamar. And they concluded, Ba'asar the leis chamar tamon. In fact, a place which has no wine supply, tamon midbu samonin. In that place, there's a great need for medicine, no wine. Okay, on this topic of quotable quotes, Ksiv apischa de kaputkia. There was a place called Kaputkia, and over there, at the entry of the city, it said like this: Anpak, Anbag, and Antal. Quoted Rashbam. The point was just that these three terms are reflective of the same thing. It's actually a shear, an amount of liquid. Vezo Antal. What is this Antal? How much is it? Zo Revish HaTorah. It's a Revish Halog that we use in Halachas of Torah, like the four cases of Pesach, etc. And the point was just to clarify for people that sometimes people will use anpak to describe the revias, sometimes anbag, I'm buying an anbag of wine, antal, an antal of oil. Right? Different dialects, different languages, but you should know it's all one and the same thing, so that it's clear. In the Mekach HaMemkar world, it's clear exactly what he had in mind. Tosis learns a bit differently. He says that we're speaking about a medicine. That the Anbag and the Ampak are it's a type of medicine, type of health drink, energy drink. And the point of the Gemara is to say that the proper amount, the proper shear to be drunk of these medicine is Erivius. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Back to Chazok. So we learned that if a person occupies a property for 3 years and then is challenged by the former owner, he need not present any proof of ownership because the 3 years of occupation is instead of a shtar. Hamar is vainly Chazok. Now let's say it's not about occupying an entire field, but it's about right of use, right of way. So you have a marzev, which is a downspout. So first you have the maschila, which is the eaves trough, running pipe, sort of a pipe running along the length of the wall, collecting the rainwater off the roof. And then off that maschila, that eaves trough, you have a downspout, a pipe going downward, where the water channels through and comes down to the ground outside. So the marzev is the downspout. Rashbam says it's called marzev, marzev. A drop of water, mar, and zav, it flows. So it's a marzev, in which the water flows. So imagine you have a marzev, which is directed into your neighbor's property. Ein lo chazaka. You can't claim, well, I've been there for 3 years, you can't move it around, you can't touch it, I have a chazaka to prove that, we must have made an arrangement, I bought the rights, or you gave it to me, right? No, just because you have it for 3 years doesn't mean anything. Because, as Rashbam says, it's not a milsa de kviyus, it's not a permanent fixture. Sometimes, a downspout, we all know, sometimes you can move it, and redirect it, right? So just because it's been there, it doesn't mean that you have established your chazaka, because perhaps your neighbor didn't really care, knowing that he can, move it around when he needs to. So the marzev doesn't generate chazaka. V'yeshlam kamei chazaka. But the makim of the marzel, the guy can't completely remove it, he can redirect it, but in terms of its presence, it's got to stay. He can't remove it. Hamaschila yesh lechazaka, but the maschila is different. The long pipe running along the wall, that's kavua, that's permanent, that's not going anywhere. So if that's been hanging over your friend's property for 3 years, you have a claim of chazaka. Okay, another couple examples of kavua versus not kavua. Sulama mitzri, you have a ladder, which you use to access your roof or your birdhouse, which is positioned on your next door neighbor's property. Now, if it's a small mini ladder, that's a sulam hamitzri, in the chazaka, you can't claim chazaka. Well, that's sorry, but if it's a big, permanent type of ladder, it's been there for 3 years, and you haven't heard any complaints, ishli chazaka, you have established in chazaka. Chalad hamitzri, likewise, you have a window directed at your neighbor's property, and it's a small mini window, in the chazaka, that doesn't establish chazaka, because it's only small and insignificant. Vila atzuris, ishli chazaka, what if it's a big window that establishes chazaka, and you've established your right to keep that window. Eizah Chalena Mitzvah. What constitutes a Chalena Mitzvah? A mini one? Kol she'ein reishah shel adam yochel lekanes b'soicha. It's not big enough to allow your head in. Maybe the Eimam Yeshleim Malbin, if it has a frame around the window, that denotes permanence. So even if it's small in size, you have a chazaka. Ava b'she'ein reishah shel adam yochel lekanes b'soicha. Because of its permanence, hariz a chazaka, you've established a chazaka. Mishnah began, Marzev has no chazaka. But the makim of the Marzev has chazaka. What does that mean? Maya Marzev in the chazaka, v'yeish limkayim chazaka. We have three explanations. Amar v'idam ha-shmo, number one. Hachik amar, the Mishnah means like this. Hamarzev in the chazaka, miruach achas. If your neighbor decides, look, I'm not interested in your downspout coming down here. I want it on the other side. So you have the maschila running across the side of the wall. And at the end, let's say on the east side, you have the downspout. He wants it on the west side. Remove it from here, relocate it to the other side of the maschila. He has the right to do that. So the presence of the maschila, of the marzev, he can't deny you that. Because you need a marzev. And if it's been there for 3 years and he tolerated it, right, you should have said something earlier. So you have a chazaka. But in terms of the exact pinpoint location, he can, you know, he can modify it. If he happens to need this spot and he doesn't want to get wet, he wants it, right? He can do that. But he can't totally deny you the right to have that marzev. He can't say, I don't want it here or there. Because that much you've already established. Rabbi Chanina Omar marzev ein lechazoka shem hoyer orach makatzri. He has a different pshat. No. The neighbor can't relocate your marzev. It's been on that side. Leave it there. Rather, it means like this. If you have a very long downspout, he can decide to trim it a bit. Look, you don't need it this long. As long as the water channels away from your house, you're good. So I decide I needed a spot here. I want to shorten it a bit so that, you know, he can do that. But he cannot totally eliminate it or move it away. What does that mean? You have chazak on the makim. Shembala oikrei, any oikrei. The neighbor can't decide to remove it. Rav Yirmiyah, Bar Abama. Here comes shot number three. Hamarazim in the chazaka means shemroitz elvinayz tachtev boine. He's not touching, he's not moving your marzev. Okay, but he wants to build beneath it. He wants to make a little shed. Your neighbor wants to put a shed underneath your downspout. He can do that. You can't, you have no claim beyond the actual downspout. You can't say, well, I need the space, I want to hang something on my marzev. You have a right to dump your water there, but that's it. He can put something beneath it. The space, the property beneath it is his. V'yesh l'mkayim chazaka. When we say that you have established a chazaka on the makim, it means like this. That he cannot totally remove your marzev. Shimbol oikre, eno oikre. Tanan. Now the Mishnah continues. The marzev, that can be tinkered with. But the maschila, that's a given. That's an established chazak. Hamaschila yesh lechazak. Which is obviously coming in contrast to the marzev. So we have to go through all three explanations and see why it's not applicable to the maschila. Bishlem lamando amanech tarti shaper. So I understand the first two pshatim, which allows the neighbor to relocate the marzev or to trim the marzev. Okay, by the maschila you can't do that. You can't play around with the maschila. Rashbam says it's something permanent. You don't trim it. You don't move it. Okay. Elo lamanda amar shimrot elivnes tachta boina. But pshat number three, which allows the neighbor to build beneath the marzev, my nafkalei mino. Why wouldn't we say the same thing by the maschila? I mean, what difference does it make to the owner of the maschila if the neighbor put a shed underneath it? Why would he have a right to block him from doing that? Hacha b'maschila shel binyan askin. Oh, we're speaking about the maschila, which is made of building solid building material. It's like cement or whatever, right? So here, it's a bit fragile, because once you start banging and building, the Amalei, so the neighbor who owns the maschila can tell his next door neighbor, Lo nichali de sisra shisoy, I don't want you building and banging away, even beneath it, because it's going to shake and it might fracture the structure of the maschila. So he has a right to stop it. And the Rashbam says that, in one pshat, he says that typically the only the maschila would be made from this type of material, which is susceptible to vibration, but the marzev is made of different type of material, like wood or whatever, so there's no issue of vibrations there. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We have Rabbi Benoah. measuring the graves, his encounter with Eliezer Eben Avram, Avram and Sarah, Adam Arishan, the story with Abaye and the Mechashev, the story about the Mamzerim there, where Rabbi Binoy verified the legitimate son. We have the story of the Goyim taking him and then restoring him, appointing him a judge. And then we had the all the lessons that he revised for them. Marzev has no chazaka, but the Mokim does. Maschila has a chazaka. We have three ways to explain it. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.